Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Canadian Martyrs. I mentioned taking a wonderful little pilgrimage with the sisters in my community, and we went to this area of Canada where the Canadian Martyrs met their death. And when we got there, it was an empty field, just totally empty field, grass on it, but bare of anything except a cross, a very large crucifix that was planted in the ground. And I remember thinking as I walked on the ground, as we walked into that field and we walked toward the cross where we spent a little time praying, the silence that enveloped. There were no signs, there were no indicators of this being some kind of a pilgrimage spot. We had been given direction where it was and we came, but this cross stood out very high, very tall cross stood. And I remember kneeling there, and the silence was the most eloquent thing I could imagine. It just spoke of holiness and blessedness. And I asked those martyrs to give to all of us, but I prayed for me and I prayed for all of my listeners that we would have the zeal and the love of these Canadian martyrs, that we would be willing to lay down our lives, that we would be willing to suffer, perhaps not to the extent of losing our lives, but we would be willing to suffer for the spread of the gospel. Pray about that. Ask the Lord to give you courage and strength whenever you're called in some way to witness to his presence and his love for his people. So we pray to these martyrs today. Ask them for great grace. The first reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 to 30. Brothers and sisters, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Though testified to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood to prove his righteousness because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed through the forbearance of God. To prove his righteousness in the present time, that he might be righteous and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. Paul could write some very, very long sentences, and I don't have time in a program that's this short to take this all apart for you. But what I do want to say is that Paul's main point here is that God, through his prophets, through the law, he's brought us, if we're willing to follow him, he's brought us to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying that God doesn't just come to a certain grouping of people. He says very, very clearly here, he says there is no distinction. All of us have sinned. Leaders and everybody, all of us have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. And the way in which we're justified is if we accept what Jesus did for us upon the cross. If we commit ourselves to the Lord, if we spend our lives in thanksgiving for what he has made possible for us. Otherwise, we would mean nothing after this life. But God not only saved us, but he's giving us eternal life, the fullness of life, the goodness of life, where every sorrow, every tear, every pain, every suffering will be wiped away and all will be made new. That's not just some kind of utopia. That's God's promise to us through Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Do you live out of that? That's what Paul is saying here. And so he says, what occasion is there then for boasting? We didn't make this happen. It's God who did this for us. We have no grounds for boasting, none of us. It is ruled out. On what principle? That of works? No, rather on the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You had the Pharisees thinking if they accumulated all these good deeds, that would prove them worthy of heaven, and they would have earned it. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. What our lives are called to be is an act of gratitude for what God has made possible for us in the life to come. I can't earn heaven. I can't. But God made it possible if I'm willing to follow him. What occasion is there then for boasting? It is ruled out. On what principle? That of works? No, rather on the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Does God belong to Jews alone? Does he not belong to Gentiles too? Yes, also to Gentiles, for God is one. And will justify the circumcised on the basis of faith and the uncircumcised through faith. All is based on faith. So we come back, don't we? Again, how deep is your faith? Are you growing in faith? Are you asking for grace to grow in faith? To believe, to really believe so that it penetrates your whole being. And you see your life in light of eternity. See your life in light of eternity, always. And then act accordingly. That's faith. Psalm 130. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. God knows our weakness. He knows our sinfulness. But if we keep turning to him, if we put our trust in him, if we deny our pride, looking to those things where I will be exalted and complimented and honored, don't do any of that. Just serve him. Follow him. That's what God wants. That's what he asks of us. I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. My soul waits for the Lord. More than sentinels wait for the dawn. Do you love him? Do I wait for the Lord? Do I trust in him? Ask God for the grace. Even if you're saying, nope, I don't, then ask God for the grace because he will give it to you. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 47 to 54. The Lord said, woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter. What they did was multiply all the rules. Everybody got caught up in obeying every jot and tittle of the law. And yes, we are supposed to obey the law, but not man-made laws. God's law, the Ten Commandments. That's enough for a lifetime. There's a certain way I want to say, let's get our heads on straight. The Pharisees made all kinds of mistakes because they made, in a sense, a god out of the law rather than the law being a means to bring you into union with God. The gospel ends here. When Jesus left, the scribes and the Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him. They didn't like it because he was saying, you're not real. You're making an empty show. You don't really love God. You're letting your pride and the praise of other people rule your life. He said it to them very clearly. And they began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say. Don't spend your time trying to catch people at what they might say. Love God with all your heart. Follow him. Be obedient to him. When you fail, repent. And your life will bear tremendous fruit. I was reading in Magnificat magazine a little commentary by one of the priests who was a French Jesuit martyr, and he was a missionary companion of St. Isaac Jogues in North America. And he says, he's speaking about Father Jogues, and he said, I was watching this disaster from a place very favorable for concealing me from the sight of the enemy, being able to hide myself in thickets and among very tall and dense reeds. But this thought could never enter my mind. Could I really, I said to myself, abandon our French and leave these good neophytes and these poor catechumens without giving them the succor that the Church of my God has entrusted to me? Flight seemed horrible to me. This was his battle, seeing his newly baptized brothers and sisters dying for the faith. He said, I can't abandon them. I can't leave them. I stand with them. Because why? Because he knew that God loved him. And that's where we begin. We learn that God loves us. And as we learn that God loves us, we repent more freely, more completely, more quickly. We repent of our sin, day in and day out. And as you do that, as you get into that pattern, then just what happened to the saints here can happen to you, that even in difficult circumstances, you're concerned about the other. You want to make sure that the other is going to be able to see the face of God. You're going to do all in your power. You can't make it happen, but you can pray for it. And you can act in such a way that the gates of eternal life are open to other people. They have to make the choice to cross the threshold, but you want to make it available to them. By the way you speak, by the way you act, by the way you relate. Brothers and sisters, God needs saints today. And he would give you, if you ask for it, every grace to become a saint. That, as I so often say, and it is so true, that your light, the light of your life, will shine out in the darkness and point the way for others. Give yourself to God and to others and make yourself third. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.